Or do we? You know, there was once a day in America when we were, in fact, united, living by and respecting our Constitution and our rule of law. You remember that day? There was a time when we believed as a people, an American people, in justice for one and justice for all, where we really believed in equality and opportunity and freedom, freedoms for the individual, never, ever, ever to be abridged by government of any kind, never. We the people, as we continue to form a more perfect union, were once a people more united than divided. Not today. In that good time, we honored and saluted our national flag, our beloved stars and stripes. We stood proudly and respectfully and sang our national anthem. We proudly recited our Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and to our great republic and to one nation, ours, indivisible, believing in, working for, and protecting liberty and justice for all. For all. We didn't need concepts like diversity. We were one, regardless of race, color, creed, gender, or any other difference. We were, no matter our problems, and surely we had them. But we were still united with common values. E pluribus unum were living words, all for one and one for all. E pluribus unum. We sought to understand each other and to forge legislation and the way of living fair and equitable and without constitutional compromise. We had true American values of loyalty, patriotism, independence, and justice, and real justice for all. We were then more indivisible than divided. And again, we had our problems, especially our racial problems, but we worked on them. But so little of that seems to be happening today. We are more divided than ever, split down the middle, polarized, incapable of dialogue, arguers, angry and fearful. There is no dialogue because one side determines what is right, and consequently, any countering or conflicting points of views are of necessity wrong. Civility is gone. Rudeness, disrespect, hate speech rule the day. And I think it is really tragic for America, especially tragic for we the people. And as we splinter farther and farther, divided more than ever, our great country, all that it is and stands for, will erode and, God forbid, perhaps eventually disappear. So much of all of this emanates from Washington, D.C., from our Congress, especially House and Senate divided, really divided, fractured, hardly ever communicating across the aisle. Small wonder barely one out of seven citizens have respect for Congress and thinks of this political body respectfully. Do you? Even so, says William Galston, writer for the Wall Street Journal. Galston says, millions of Americans yearn for a more civil and cooperative form of politics, but the Republican and Democratic parties are pulling us in the opposite direction. Boy, I sure believe that. Do you? Do we ever get pulled in opposite directions? And are they ever polarizing our politicians? But you know, it is critical for the survival of America that civility be restored. We want that, because without civility, there can be no dialogue. We want to hear reasonable, rational dialogue. Don't you? Boy, I do. We want to understand in fair and just terms the position of others so that we can think carefully and even rethink our positions where possible in light of the position of others. And at the same time, we want the opportunity to explain what we believe in rational, civil dialogue and not argumentation, not a matter of right and wrong in so many areas. Our leaders show us a different way. The more angry they are, the more bombast, the louder and more shrill, the more critical, the less dialogue, the more powerful the politician appears. So often we the people mimic those politicians, our alleged leaders who govern us, and we mimic them in terms of how we conduct our lives and our discourse with our fellow citizens and our fellow human beings. and civility becomes just a word long lost. Oh, what a tragedy, what a tragedy. And cooperation. As Mr. Galston says, we yearn for cooperation. Ah, how good it would be to see a Mitch McConnell and a Chuck Schumer shake hands, embrace, and discuss issues with civility. Or Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan do the very same thing. How good it would be to see that cooperation at work. Let television and radio provide us with a dialogue of rational, fair-minded, justice-thinking, and seeking politicians, discussing, really fairly and respectfully discussing the issues of the day, really making an effort to get things done, cooperating together for the good of our great country and we the people. We elect our politicians, our leaders, to get things done, to cooperate. That's the reason we elect them. But no matter the party, whether Republican or Democrat or even independent, the party and the power prevails. And we the people are ruled, absolutely ruled, and not governed by a president, 100 senators, 435 congresspersons, and 9 Supreme Court justices. Rule absolutely 330 million people. And they often do so without accountability. They become career politicians, elected over and over again, like Schumer, like McConnell, like Pelosi, like so many others who are vested in politics and power. Small wonder those so politically impervious pay little or no attention to us. Does your elected official care about you? Do you think he or she does? They rule, but they do not govern. They beg for money, and they beg for votes, and once elected, utterly ignore the giver and the voter. Our political parties, Democrat and Republican, in the words of Galston, have drifted ideologically farther apart than they were 2 decades ago. This constantly widening ideological split occurs in race, sex, age, education, location, and religion, among others. You know, there really is no such thing as a centrist politician or centrist political beliefs. One now is either a conservative, mildly so or extreme, or liberal, to the left of center, or polarized to the extreme. And the farther to the radical left a party or individual moves, or to the extreme and uncompromising right, there is then no possibility for dialogue of any kind. William Galston concludes his excellent article in the Wall Street Journal with the following statement. Our politics would be more likely to produce constructive solutions if the variegated groups that form American society were in constant dialogue. But that doesn't seem likely to happen. Boy, that's for sure. When parties are so divided along lines of race, sex, religion, and class, among others, compromise between their moderate wings is the only viable path to progress. Unfortunately, the moderate wings of Democrat and Republican parties are seemingly ineffective, cannot carry the dialogue, much less pass legislation. These moderate wingers seem incapable of ameliorating the sharpened and hard positions of the extreme left or right. There is then no cooperation, none, no compromise, none, no possibility of trying the golden rule in Washington. How about that one? Trying the golden rule in Washington. You know, like do unto others. As a writer, Suzanne Fields so well stated that, when in fact that mean-spirited town needs a prescription for an elixir of kindness. Don't you like that? Washington, D.C. needs an elixir of kindness. Miss Fields sees Washington as a town in turmoil and in chaos, and groveling, her words, groveling in cynicism. Boy, that sure seems evident. Fields says about Washington, D.C. politics, divide is the name of the game. Isn't that interesting? Divide is the name of the game. Everyone seems to be in fighting mode. Even leaders like Trump and Biden once boasted how they would like to punch each other out rather than work for common political solutions. Oh, come on. That's just pathetic. But even underneath all of this bluster and chaos, Fields says, there seems to be a craving for community, for a sense that we are all in this together. Oh boy, are we ever. And we should seek solutions through a give and take in reasoned debate. Doesn't that sound right to you? Hear her words once again. There seems to be a craving for community, for a sense that we are all in this together. We are. And we should seek solutions through a give and take in reasoned debate. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see that happening in Washington, D.C.? That would be wonderful. If we could ever find a way to implement, to work, and live by the words of former President George H.W. Bush, who himself yearned for a kinder, gentler America. Boy, what a pleasure it would be to see that happen, don't you think? An America where people really respected each other, no matter their differences. What a blessing and a boon that would be for America if only that could happen. I wonder if there's more that you and I can do to make that happen. Not long ago, President Trump fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, and in his parting statement, Tillerson stated the following, "This, that is Washington, D.C., can be a very mean-spirited town." Oh boy, can it ever. Tillerson then went on to state the following, "To treat each other with respect, regardless of the job title, the station in life, or your role, to treat each other with respect. We are all human beings," Tillerson went on to say, "trying to do our part. Each of us gets to choose the person we want to be, and the way we want to be treated, and the way we will treat others." Amen to that. So, Tillerson goes on to say, "We should continue to search for ways to talk to each other without the snark, that begets anger, hair-trigger tempers, and often the obscenities which have become the lingua franca, the common language of the capital. In short, why can't we begin to try the golden rule in Washington, as Suzanne Fields well says? But in reality, politicians do what they want and then do everything possible to prevent those other politicians from doing the same unto them. And without civility or respect. It is tragic indeed, tragic, perhaps even laughable in the world at large as other nations watch political America at work. We were once the most respected leaders in the world, as was our politics, which have now turned in so many ways to laughingstock. But we the people, by the tens of millions, continue to hope and pray for revival, political revival in America. We yearn for the golden rule at work, don't we? For cooperation between our elected leaders, for governing and not ruling. And we ask for the protection of our Constitution and for the preservation of our liberty and our freedoms. We elect and we hope. So often we are disappointed, and in this raging era of post-truth, we are accustomed to politicians lying to get elected, forsaking promises, and in office doing exactly what they wish, no matter what they promised. What a tragedy for our great country. Even as we pray for them, as we are instructed, we should make every effort as citizens to hold those we have elected accountable. We should find a way, together, to make them live up to their political promises. We should confront them when they fail in dialogue or civility, or morals, or ethics, when they misrepresent or disrespect us. We, the people, the voters, should stand up to them. If we don't take back our country, soon there will be no country. You know, we have a republic. If we can keep it, I don't think we're doing a very good job in keeping it. An active, proactive, informed citizen voter politically at work at all times is the only answer to the problems in America. Boy, I for one do hope and pray that you are that kind of citizen, and that I am, and that you will take part in movements which will once more restore to America our leading ideal and motto, "In God We Trust." And that will save America as the beacon on the hill it once was. You know, it seems to me that we have no right to ask God to bless America unless we, the people, are doing everything humanly possible to put our great country on the right path. Are you?